This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, O Give Thanks Unto the Lord.
William Shakespeare, in his writing King Lear, writes these words, and look at them. How sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? Anybody? Our nation is in the midst of uncertain and stress-inducing time. Fear, anxiety, and anger seem to dominate the air and the airways. The economy, employment, the pandemic, China, Russia, we can go on with that list. An overreaching federal government all have blended together to concoct a frightening brew. Though it all is there, and although it gives us reason to have all of those negative feelings, God's in control, and God is our source of help, and God loves you, and He's watching over you. Thankfulness is born out of reminding ourselves of our blessings. Now, we're looking at all the things that are wrong. What's right? What's going on in your life that's right? I know that we can dwell on all the negatives, and I know that we can focus in on this is not happening in my life, and that's my problem, and this is the other problem. But what's your blessing? Are you allowing your problems to outweigh your blessings this morning? Are you allowing the issues and the circumstance to overcome the reality that God is your partner in every aspect of life? The American author and lecturer, Helen Keller, she was born deaf and blind. Think about that. Here's what she wrote, quote, I have often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days at some time during their early life. It would make that person more appreciative of sights and sounds and joy. Sometimes we think like that. We take for granted all the things we have. Here's a woman born blind and deaf, and she was so appreciative of those things that she had despite that problem. Our text this morning reminds us how much we have to thank God for. So let's stand together as we share in this morning's scripture, Psalm 136, and read with me this morning verses 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. Thank you. You may be seated. Are you getting it? Are you starting to get it? Verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Even more fascinating than that thought is this thought. God is goodness itself. That's who He is. That's His nature. He is the essence of all that is positive, honorable, glorious, charitable, kind, positive, pleasant, reliable, excellent, and worthy of praise. He's all the superlatives rolled into one. Ultimate beauty. The Bible lays out a challenge, and it says in Psalms, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Are you trusting in Him this morning? If you are trusting in Him this morning, the Bible says it's not going to be in vain. There are blessings that are going to flow out at you. God is not like any other being because He alone is pure goodness. Think about that. Nobody you know in this world, no entity, no institution, no person, is pure goodness in themselves or itself. But God is. He's not like us. We can only hope to do good. Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, no, not one. There isn't even a human being who ever lived that was capable of absolute goodness but one. And who's that, anybody? Matthew 19:16 and 17. Behold, one came and said unto Him, Jesus, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17, And He said unto him, Why callest thou Me good? There is none good, but one that is good, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus says, if you're going to recognize me as good, you must also recognize me as God. Because only God is good. The Lord is good. And we, as his children, have tasted of his goodness from time to time. Listen to the words of Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. One of my favorite verses. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them that trust in him. And I'll tell you something. I would not be standing here before you today if that verse were not true. And neither would you be here this morning. Look back on your own life by a show of hands. How many can report that God and his goodness has watched over me? Are you serious? Are you telling the truth? Are you just trying to impress us because you raised your hand? Or do you really mean it? You have experienced what the scripture says. You've brought to life by virtue of your life and your experience and your testimony, the truths of his word. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You've tried him. He bore out his promise. You are a proof text that God's promises are true because God keeps his promises. Verse 1 continues, for his mercy endureth forever. In this psalm, David writes that phrase 26 times, God's mercy, God's mercy, God's mercy. It is inexorably coupled to his goodness. Goodness and mercy go hand in hand. He knows that in our nature, we are incapable of reaching such goodness. He knows our goodness is imperfect. Sometimes our goodness has strings attached to it. That term, the quid pro quo. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. How many times have we pulled that on our kids, right? Well, if you'll be really, really good today, then I'm going to give you a cookie. That's a cheap form of manipulation. Sometimes our goodness can be manipulation, and sometimes goodness can have a dark side. God knows our goodness could never save us from our own destructive nature. It could never save us from sin. So God in his goodness reached out down to this world with his mercy. God's mercy is God's goodness in action. God's mercy is God's goodness in action. We could not save ourselves, and so in his mercy, he sent Jesus to save us. We could not pay the price for forgiveness. In his mercy, he sent Jesus who paid it. Paul writes, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. His mercy and grace extend to anyone and to everyone who will seek Jesus Christ as Savior. Do you have friends in your life who feel unloved? Friends in your life who feel there's no hope? Friends in your life who feel loneliness and anxiety and stress, what have you got to offer them? You know, I'm a pastor. I'm called upon to help people in their times of trouble or difficulty or illness or loss, fill in the blanks. But you're just as called as I am to help people who are hurting that are in your sphere of influence. And what do you have to offer them? I have only one thing to offer grieving and hurting people, and that's Jesus. Amen? You have the same person to introduce them to. And you have as much experience as I have in feeling his goodness and experiencing his goodness and experience how it is that he helps us in difficult times. Verse 2 says, oh, give thanks to the God of gods, plural. These gods, small g, are the invention of a rebellious, thankless, and unbelieving humanity that creates gods in their own image in an attempt to ease or erase or replace the true and living God. Well, we're pretty bad at that because down through the centuries, whenever there have been idolatrous people, you know what they found out? Their gods they're empty. They're meaningless. Wood can't answer your prayers. Stone can't answer your prayers, but a living God can answer your prayers and does. Your God is who or what you live for, who or what is number one in your life. And what substitutes do we have in our culture today? Well, money. Money has become our God. Pleasure. doing whatever we feel like doing with no constraints, no borders or boundaries. Pleasure can bring happiness for a few minutes, few hours, but in the end it brings destruction. Work, some people have replaced work for God. Some people have replaced politics for God, and politics has become their God. Some people, the educational system has become their God. People, children are told by the parents, get a good education and everything will be fine. Education is the most important thing. Well, based on what we see in our educational system, our kids are not being taught how to think. They're being taught what to think. And what to think is not about God. Science. Just follow the science. So we had a message for all of these years here in America. Follow Jesus. And along came these folks, and they said, well, let's substitute Jesus for science. Follow the science. You know, science has gotten into us a lot of trouble. But we have benefited from science. We're not anti-science. I'm not anti-science. I'm your pastor. I'm not anti-science. Write that down. We're not anti-science. We're anti-fake science, phony science, political science, but not true science, because what is true science? That's the search for truth. And we have found the answer to who and what's truth, and that's Jesus. The environment has become some people's God. Worshipping trees. Religion. I'm not here to promote brethrenism or baptism or Catholicism. I'm only here to promote one thing, and that's Jesusism, if there is such a word. That you would come to know Christ as your Savior. You would trust Him. Religion can kill people, and does. But Jesus never called for people to be killed. In fact, when Peter lashed out in anger against those who captured Jesus in the garden, and Peter lopped off the ear of one of those soldiers, what did Jesus do? He told Peter, put your sword up. And he bent down and picked up that ear and put it back on that person's head and healed him. People become our God. We see movie idols and how people can look up to them, I haven't got the faintest idea. We even make ourselves God. If you're following any of the Eastern religions, you are God. Only to discover these gods will fail us every single time. But Jesus never fails. And so I would say to you, if you've got something that never fails and you contrast it against something that always fails, I say take no substitutes. Receive Jesus as your Savior. The God of the Bible, He is God. And this God will keep His promises to you. I just want to give you a few of those promises that God has made to you, and I've given you the list in your bulletin so that you can look them up yourself. In Romans 5:2, He promises you will have direct access to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. You don't have to pray with somebody else, pray to somebody else, pray along with somebody else. You can pray to God directly. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need to be in the building to pray. You can pray to God directly any place you are, on your motorcycle, on a rock, out on our mountains, in the middle of New York City. When I would walk down the streets of Brooklyn, a lot of times I'd be praying and singing. You can pray to God anywhere, and Jesus will listen. You have direct access to Him, and that's a promise Jesus makes. In John 10, He promises a life with meaning and purpose. Why do you exist? That used to be a question that every intellect would ask, every college student would ask, every university student. Why am I here? Well, the answer is, in this book, you are here to serve God and worship God and love and adore Him. And He, in turn, will shower you with His blessings. He's not a tightwad. He's not stingy. The Bible doesn't drizzle you with His blessings. He showers you with His blessings. Are you ready? Are you ready, somebody? In John 17:23, He promises eternal life. Another one of the big questions, is there life after death? And you know what God said? Yes, there is. I'm here. He's promised you life after death and a place to go to. Think of it this way. You have a forwarding address. You got a place to go. In fact, the Bible says, there was a mansion built for you, and its occupant, you're ready. He's ready to let you occupy it. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord, we know. 2 Peter 1:4, he promises you a new nature. You used to hate church. You used to hate singing hymns. Never wanted to enter the door of a church. Said the roof will collapse before I ever go in there. There have been some people who have come to church and we've started to erect something to hold up the roof. But you know what they said after they'd been here a couple of weeks? I'm so happy I'm here. I should have done this years ago. And I say to everybody who's in the local area watching me today, you'd be much happier if you were here today. We can't hug you long distance. And you can't hug us. And in Amwell, there is a hug for everybody who walks through those doors. A new nature that loves the things of the Bible and loves Jesus. 1 Peter 1, 6-8 promises he will help you overcome your trials and tribulations and obstacles of life. Why bother going through this all by yourself? Why would you want to go through life all by yourself? And I've heard almost every one of you say to me, I don't think I could ever have done this without Jesus. And I know that you couldn't, and I know that I couldn't. Romans 8:37 to 39, beautiful verses. He promises that we will not be victims, we will be victors. He promises there also that his love will never fail you and never let you go. In Jesus, you have all the gods of this world can only promise but never deliver. Peace, love, joy, freedom, forgiveness, and the list goes on. Verse 3, he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords. An interesting thing that Bible students look at. Now, since you're Bible students, let's look at this. There are two different Hebrew words in that one sentence. Number one, that word Lord is Jehovah. You've heard it, Jehovah. And that's the name of God. And the number two Lord is the word Adon, Adon. And that means a human ruler. Put them both together. And the verse says, our God is master over human rule. His governance is marked by goodness and mercy. He is in control of things. Satan may be the prince of this world and the prince of the air, but God is in control. And that needs to bring comfort to you. We all wonder where the country is going and where the world is going. Do you realize, I heard this morning, somebody's preaching, that the largest church in the world, the largest single church in the world, can anybody guess where it is? Who? Korea? Nope. Who? India. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought that Hindu nation would have the largest church in the world? And the gospel is spreading there. Korea used to be a Buddhist nation. Now it's 52% Christian. While we labor and languish and get weak and we're falling apart on this end, Jesus' gospel is being spread through all the world, just like God said in the last days, the gospel would be preached to all the world. And we're seeing that happen. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It was upon this foundation that America was born. Now, I know that there are a lot of teachers in school and university, high school and whatnot, who are more than happy to say to you that that's a myth. That's not true. But over the years, I've brought you back in history, in American history, and shared what the founding fathers believed by and large, and how intricate and how much an integral part of their governance and the things that they wrote were from the Bible. So let me give you a few things. President Calvin Coolidge, he was the 30th president of the United States. And he said this, the foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. And they are rapidly becoming practically out the door. We're giving up on the things that were foundational. And he said, if that happens in our country, it'll be almost impossible to govern it. If God and his principles are not the building blocks of society, there are consequences. William Penn, the first governor of Pennsylvania, said this, "Those who will not be governed by God will be governed by tyrants." Are you ready? And not just any God. We're seeing the growing menace of those who fanatically follow radical Muslim imams and radical Muslim teachings, who would conquer the world with violence and rule without mercy and goodness. Benjamin Franklin said this, He who shall introduce into public affairs the principles of biblical Christianity will change the face of the world. Why? Listen to the words of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson said, because Christianity is the only religion that changes the heart. Now, I know that this guy's come under a lot of criticism, but that's just looking at him from one perspective. In the bigger picture, that's what he said. When Christ rules in the heart and in the nation, mercy and goodness and peace are the outgrowth. Do we have that now? Mercy and truth, goodness and peace. Only you can answer that. Don't ask me to answer that. When Christ rules in the heart of a nation, those things are the outgrowth. Psalm 85:10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy is love in action. Two works of mercy set a man free. Forgive and you will be forgiven, and give and you will receive. When the Holy Spirit rules in the heart, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, and faith blossom. These are qualities that can neither be legislated nor commanded. You have to want to do these things in your heart. And what's in your heart when you have the Holy Spirit are these fruit, ready to blossom, wanting to be shared, wanting to be shed to your community and people in them. These are qualities planted in the heart by a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God who is good. And God is good all the time. Let's do it. God is good all the time. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And all the people said, amen. I want to read a prayer at one of the patients when I was a chaplain up at Hagedorn Psychiatric Hospital wrote. And this man was under a lot of issues. But listen to the beauty of a man who came to know Christ up there in the hospital. It's called Prayer's End. Lord, grant me the strength to reach beyond my present anguish. Let me accept that there is purpose to the harshness of my trials. Let me gain empathy for others and not succumb to the futility of self-pity. Let me maintain my spirit and not ever weaken the life force of my soul. My time on earth is meant to prepare me for the joys of eternal life. Let me be true to my faith and never lose hope of my redemption in Christ. Grant me the gift of serenity in the face of each onslaught against my soul. Let me know when to restrain my words and when to loudly proclaim my beliefs. Grant me the will to accept my own frailties in mind and spirit. Let me learn to understand myself so that I may better reach out to help others. Let me walk in step with all those who believe goodness will prevail. Guide me back onto the path of righteousness when I stray too far. Let me believe always in your heavenly kingdom, for it will sustain me. As I face whatever storms I must weather, climbing toward that mist-shrouded summit, grant me faith to know that at the end of my journey, that mist will lift, and there I will find paradise, just as you promised to all believers. And for that, all God's children said, Father God, we thank you for the privilege we have to come to you in the time that we have to do it. We thank you for precious words from the psalmist. We thank you for words of encouragement that comes out of those words from the psalmist. And we pray this morning that we would be lighthouses in this community to Jesus Christ. Pray for all of those who are viewing, all of those who are listening, and all of those who are here. Lord, let us not just listen, let us not just see, let us not just hear, but as has been prayed earlier, let us do. Let us reach out to others to share the gospel with our love, with our words, with our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.